Shri Jagannath, Shri Baladev, Shri Mati Subhadra Devi ki jai. Shri Shri Gauranitai ki jai. Shri Yuga Prabhupada ki jai. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vidanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Prachaline Nirvishesha Shinyavadi Jai. So first we're going to read from the introduction on page 1 of Bhagavad Gita, and we're going to chant these mantras together and the translation. This is for our purification.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stavitam Jena Bhutale Swayan Rupa Karamayan Tirati Swaparantitam.
I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. When will Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, who has established within this material world the mission to fulfill the desire of Lord Chaitanya, give me shelter under his lotus feet?
Pandeham Shikara Shiyuta Parakamalan Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Scha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabarutan Purichana Sahitan Krishna Chaitanya Devan Shivada Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitam Sja.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master and unto the feet of all Vaishnavas. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of Srila Rupa Goswami, along with his elder brother Sanatan Goswami, as well as Raghunath Das and Raghunath Bhatta, Gopala Bhatta and Srila Jiva Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisances to Lord Krishna Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, along with Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar, Srivas, and other associates. I offer my respectful obeisances to Srimati Radharani and Sri Krishna, along with their associates, Sri Lalita and Vishakha.
Hey Krishna Karna Sindho, Dinabandho Chigatpate, Gopesha Gopika Kanta, Radhakanta Namastute.
Oh, my dear Krishna, you are the friend of the distressed and the source of creation. You're the master of the gopis and the lover of Radharani. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you.
Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye.
I offer my respects to Radharani, whose bodily complexion is like molten gold And who is the queen of Vrindavan? You're the daughter of King Vrishabhanu, and you are very dear to Lord Krishna.
Panchakalpa tudubhyascha kripa sindubhyeva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.
I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen souls.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhaktivinoda.
I offer my obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas and all others in the line of devotion.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we're reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, with translation, the purports by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So tonight we're on chapter 12, devotional service, and we're on text 5. Tonight, and we have a guest here. What is your name?
My name's Richard.
Richard, welcome. Nice to have you here. First time? Welcome. Did you meet Tulsi Balaba Prabhu? This is Tulsi and his wife Carolyn, and I'm Nidra Devi. So nice to meet you. So chapter 12, text 5. First, we'll do the Sanskrit words.
Kleshaha
Kleshaha
Adikataraha
Adikataraha
Tesham
Tesham
Avyakta
Avyakta
Asakta
Asakta
Chetasam
Chetasam
Avyakta
Avyakta
Hi
Hi
Gatihi
Gatihi
Dukam
Dukam
Deha Vadbihi
Deha Vadbihi
Vapite
Vapite
Klesho Dikataraspesham
Klesho Dikataraspesham
Avyakta Sakta Chetasam
Avyakta Sakta Chetasam
Avyakta Hi Gatir Dukam
Avyakta Hi Gatir Dukam
Dehavadbir avapyate
Dehavadbir avapyate
Klesho dikataraspesham
Klesho dikataraspesham
Avyakta sakta chetasam
Avyakta sakta chetasam
Avyakta hi gatir dukam
Avyakta hi gatir dukam
Dehavadbir avapyate
Dehavadbir avapyate
Klesho dikataraspesham
Klesho dikataraspesham
Avyakta sakta chetasam
Avyakta sakta chetasam
Avyakta ikatir dukam
Avyakta ikatir dukam
Devadbir avapyate
Devadbir avapyate
Please chant.
Klesho
Klesho dikataraspesham
Avyakta sakta chetasam
Avyakta hi
gatir dukam
Avyakta hi gatir dukam
Dehavadbir avapyate
Dehavadbir avapyate.
You don't have to. We're on. Did you find it, Richard?
Why don't you?
If you like to try to chant, you can. Otherwise, that's okay. If it's a little hard for you, it's first time, so. Avyakta nikatitvitasam
Avyakta hi katir dukam
Avyakta hi katir dukam Devadbhiravapite. So was that your very first time? Oh, glories. Wonderful. That's your mother language, Sanskrit. That's where English comes from. Very nice. It's wonderful you tried. Carolyn, you want to chant? Avyakta sakta chetasam Avyakta hi gati dukam Devadbhiravyapite. So word meanings Kleshaha trouble Adikataraha very much of them. Avyakta to the unmanifested. Asakta attached. Chetasam of those whose minds. Avyakta toward the unmanifested. He certainly. Gatihi. Progress. Dukam. With trouble. Dehavadbihi. By the embodied. Avapyate. Is achieved. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme, advancement is very troublesome. To make progress in that discipline is always difficult for those who are embodied. So please repeat. For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested.
For those whose minds are attached to the unmanifested.
Impersonal feature of the Supreme.
Impersonal feature of the Supreme.
Advancement is very troublesome.
Advancement is very troublesome.
To make progress in that discipline is always difficult.
To make progress in that discipline is always difficult.
For those who are embodied. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The group of transcendentalists who follow the path of the inconceivable, unmanifested, impersonal feature of the Supreme Lord are called Jnana Yogis, and persons who are in full Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service to the Lord, are called Bhakti Yogis. Now, here the difference between Jnana Yoga and Bhakti Yoga is definitely expressed. The process of Jnana Yoga, although ultimately bringing one to the same goal, is very troublesome. Whereas the path of Bhakti Yoga, the process of being in direct service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is easier and is natural for the embodied soul. The individual soul is embodied since time immemorial. It is very difficult for him to simply theoretically understand that he is not the body. Therefore, the bhakti yogi accepts the deity of Krishna as worshipable because there is some bodily conception fixed in the mind which can thus be applied. Of course, worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his form within the temple is not idol worship. There is evidence in the Vedic literature that worship may be saguna or nirguna, of the supreme possessing or not possessing attributes. Worship of the deity in the temple is saguna worship, for the Lord is represented by material qualities. But the form of the Lord, though represented by material qualities such as stone, wood, or oil paint, is not actually material. That is the absolute nature of the Supreme Lord. A crude example may be given here. We may find some mailboxes on the street, and if we post our letters in those boxes, they will naturally go to their destination without difficulty. But any old box or an imitation which we may find somewhere but which is not authorized by the post office will not do the work. Similarly, God has an authorized representation in the deity form, which is called Archa Vigraha. This Archa Vigraha is an incarnation of the Supreme Lord. God will accept service through that form. The Lord is omnipotent, all-powerful. Therefore, by his incarnation, or Archa Vigraha, he can accept the services of the devotee, just to make it convenient for the man in conditioned life. So for a devotee, there is no difficulty in approaching the Supreme immediately and directly. But for those who are following the impersonal way to spiritual realization, the path is difficult. They have to understand the unmanifested representation of the Supreme through such Vedic literatures as the Upanishads. And they have to learn the language, understand the non-perceptual feelings, and realize all these processes. This is not very easy for a common man. A person in Krishna consciousness, engaged in devotional service, simply by the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, simply by offering regulative obeisances unto the deity, simply by hearing the glories of the Lord, and simply by eating the remnants of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, realizes the Supreme Personality of Godhead very easily. There is no doubt that the impersonalists are unnecessarily taking a troublesome path with the risk of not realizing the absolute truth at the ultimate end. But the personalist, without any risk, trouble, or difficulty, approaches the Supreme Personality directly. A similar passage appears in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is stated there that if one ultimately has to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the surrendering process is called bhakti, but instead takes the trouble to understand what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, and spends his whole life in that way, the result is simply troublesome. Therefore, it is advised here that one should not take up this troublesome path of self-realization, because there is uncertainty in the ultimate result. A living entity is eternally an individual soul, And if he wants to merge into the spiritual whole, he may accomplish the realization of the eternal and knowledgeable aspects of his original nature, but the blissful portion is not realized. By the grace of some devotee, such a transcendentalist, highly learned in the process of jnana yoga, may come to the point of bhakti yoga or devotional service. At that time, long practice in impersonalism also becomes a source of trouble because he cannot give up the idea. Therefore, an embodied soul is always in difficulty with the unmanifest, both at the time of practice and at the time of realization. Every living soul is partially independent, and one should know for certain that this unmanifested realization is against the nature of his spiritual blissful self. One should not take up this process. For every individual living entity, the process of Krishna consciousness, which entails full engagement in devotional service, is the best way. If one wants to ignore this devotional service, there is the danger of turning to atheism. Thus, the process of centering attention on the unmanifested, the inconceivable, which is beyond the approach of the senses, as already expressed in this verse, should never be encouraged at any time, especially in this age. It is not advised by Lord Krishna. Nama Om Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatideshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasri Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So for the sake of Richard, do they call you Rick or Richard?
Rick.
So for the sake of Rick and all of us, we'll kind of try to simplify it in a way what we're reading about here. So Krishna's God, and he's a person, and he's speaking to his friend Arjuna. I don't know if you know about the Gita, but you're on a battlefield, and before the battle starts, Krishna speaks this knowledge to Arjuna. And basically, in this chapter that we more or less started a few days ago, Arjuna is asking Krishna, what's best, someone who serves you with love and devotion, or, you know, practices this service to God with love, or is it better to just think of you, you know, as just energy? Should I look at you as a person and serve you as a person, or should I just think of you as energy and just, you know, think of you as kind of like unmanifested, all-pervading? What's best? So then Krishna tells him it's best if you engage in devotional service, and that Krishna himself is the Supreme Person. So, but this is not the only way that people see God, right? But this is the best. So some see the Lord as just this all-pervading energy, you know, this, some call it the white light. We're seeing that God has an effulgence, you know, just like people have auras. So God has this spiritual effulgence, and it's vast and unlimited, and some people like to meditate on that rather than the person. Just like, say, if somebody met you and they said, well, I'd rather, you know, kind of meditate on your aura than think of you as the person. And, you know, you think, oh, okay, well, they don't really want to relate to me as a person. You know, they want to be a little impersonal for whatever reason, right? So with the Supreme Lord, different people have different desires in their hearts, how they want to relate to God. And here we're getting confirmation from the Lord himself that the best thing is to understand him as the Supreme Personality, not a mundane person, but the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and serve him with love. So this is a basic teaching most Christians believe in, you know, God's person. They may not know much about him, but he is supposedly the Father, and like that. So here we're seeing that this process of serving the Lord with love is the best way to relate with the Lord. It's the best. So there are different yogis, bhakti yogis and jnana yogis. So these bhakti yogis, these are individuals who are practicing connecting with God. Yoga means, you know, connecting, having a union and a connection with the Lord. And bhakti means devotional service or devotion and love, service done with love. So those who practice this devotional service to the Lord, they're bhakti yogis. And then others who want to see the Lord in a more impersonal way, and they want to just try to study the knowledge of the Lord as all-pervading and energy and effulgence and, you know, the supreme unmanifested, then they're called jnana yogis, and jnana means this knowledge. And so they're considered impersonal, and the bhakti yogis are considered personal. So we even ourselves would prefer, generally speaking, we would prefer someone who relates to us personally rather than impersonally. Like sometimes people say, oh, the government is so impersonal, they don't care. They don't think of me as a person. What do they care? They're just impersonal. And then someone says, oh, you know, I really like my school. And, you know, we have more one-on-one with the teacher. It's more personal. So generally, in a healthy state of mind, we like things more personal. That's just the natural thing of the soul. Because everything is, on the highest level, on the spiritual level, personal. Right? So in this way, we're learning about this in this chapter. And in the purport, we were reading a little bit about the deity of Krishna. So in bhakti yoga, this process, we have this deity worship, which Prabhupada explained here, is not idol worship. Idol worship is condemned no matter what scripture you're looking into. Idol worship is condemned. Deity worship is according to scripture. And in other words, the Lord can manifest himself in whatever way he wishes, but we don't concoct how he manifests. In other words, even like sometimes Vishnu John Maharaj used to give the example of Moses and the burning bush. So if God can appear to Moses in a burning bush, he can appear in any way he wants. You know, if he wants to appear in the Ten Commandments, if he wants to appear in his Bhagavad Gita, he can appear as he wishes. So if he wants to appear in the deity form, I don't know if you saw the deities on the altar, then he can. But we do it in an authorized scriptural way. And idol worship is not according to scripture. It's whimsical and not authorized. So deity worship is authorized. And this deity worship helps us to fix our mind on the form of the Lord and kind of a, you know, personal exchange, right? Thinking, oh, here's the Supreme Person. What can I do for him and her? I can offer incense. I can offer flowers. I can offer, you know, all kinds of nice vegetables from my garden and all these things. I can relate with the deity of Krishna in a personal way. So this deity worship helps us to become practitioners of bhakti yoga, more personal and purified of impersonalism. In other words, relating to the Lord as a person, getting away from impersonalism. And in this day and age that we live in, there's a lot of impersonalism. You know, oh, I go to school and I'm just shuffled around like a number, or whatever, you know, we may feel like, or on the job, nobody treats me as a real person. I'm just a number or a robot, or, you know, I'm just a cog in the corporate wheel or whatever. So we feel like, oh, it's not very personal. So in spiritual life, personality is what we're looking for. Why? Because ultimately God is the Supreme Personality, and we're part and parcel of the Supreme. And we are also eternal personalities, individual personalities, no two alike. Everybody completely unique, eternally a person, and eternally you, nobody exactly like you. So we're all expansions of the Lord in that sense, right? We're all parts and parcels of the Lord. We're not separate in that sense. But anyway, everything has to be authorized, though. That's the thing we're talking about here in this deity worship. And in the purport, Prabhupada's explaining the example of the letterbox, the postbox. So you could, you know, put your own box out on the street and put, you know, postal service. But if it's not an authorized U.S. Postal Service box, then it's not going to be effective. It's not authorized, right? So deity worship is actually authorized by scripture.
I will come.
So in that way, what we're looking at is in spiritual life, we follow authority. Not blindly, but in a proper way, right? Everybody who's learning in life, they follow authority. Follow a teacher. Follow the knowledge, the truth. And so here, Prabhupada's talking about taking authority, being authorized, you know. The bhakti yogi takes authority from the scripture, from the words of the Lord, from the words of the devotee of the Lord, and takes authority and worships the deity, the bona fide form of the Lord, the deity form. And in that way, makes progress in spiritual life. So Prabhupada also explains that this impersonal path, eventually, after many lifetimes, you know, when you add devotion to your impersonal path, you'll gradually come to the point of becoming personal again with God. But why go through all that trouble of trying to worship the Lord as just his all-pervading energy and try through your own speculative knowledge, try to figure it all out? Why not just follow authority, follow bona fide devotees of the Lord who explain the personal aspect of God, and realize the Supreme Lord directly. The impersonal path is indirect. Just like if someone's trying to communicate with you or learn about you, and all they do is study your aura or the energy that, you know, you produce. Okay. So they might, you know, after some time, it may take a lot of time because they're indirectly trying to figure you out and relate to you. And so the same thing with the Lord, you know, trying to just ascertain everything about the energy of the Lord and this aspect of the Lord, you know, his all-pervading aspect. But rather than take that troublesome route, go to the person himself, right? Just makes sense. So in this way, we learn from this chapter and from this beginning section of the chapter and from Prabhupada's purports that there's a lot of difficulty in the personal path. And therefore, Krishna's recommending this process of bhakti yoga. It's not really any different from what any pure representative of the Lord in any religious tradition has presented. In other words, love of God is what we're trying to attain. And you don't love, you know, just molecules and energies. And, you know, we relate in a loving way with people. So this is kind of a summary of what we're studying here. Anybody have any questions? What do you think, Rick? Makes sense?
Actually, yeah. Something I might think about is.
Great. Yeah. I used to think about it a lot in high school because, in some traditions you understand that God's a personality, but you don't have much knowledge, you know. At least I didn't. So then when the impersonal feature of the Lord is presented to you, you're wondering, okay, is God ultimately just energy, or is he ultimately a person, or what is it all about? So I used to always try to find out what's going on here. And it really didn't come completely resolved until I studied, you know, Prabhupada's books. Then I understand. So impersonal understanding is one aspect. Like, certainly Krishna or the Lord has his energies. So that's part of the whole creation. That's part of the Lord's manifesting himself. But we're trying to look at the ultimate essence of it all. And it is this loving devotional service with the Supreme Person, and we are eternally persons also. And this loving service exchange, active exchange, is what satisfies the heart. People are thinking a lot about hearts today, so in the Western world, so on this day, February 14th. So the real heartfelt exchange is there on the level of the soul with the Lord as persons. But Krishna is always the Supreme Person, right? Sometimes, I met this gentleman at the H Mart today when we were distributing books at our book table at the Asian store today. And he was a very smiley gentleman, but he was so cordial and smiley, I thought maybe he's just joking, but in another sense, he seemed quite serious when he said he didn't really want any of the books because he was, in fact, God. Okay. And he smiled brightly about that. So the thing is, God is always the Supreme Personality, and we're parts and parcels. So it behooves us to take a humble position.
But modern God doesn't need a book, but he needs a cell phone.
So that was... It was sad in a way, you know, but also a little amusing too. miscalculation of the human brain is that, you know, thinking on God. I mean, we're godly. We're certainly of the same qualities, not the same quantity. Anything else? Anything else, Rick, you'd like to ask?
It's a lot.
It's a lot, isn't it? Do you have this Gita at home? You're going to take one home, right?
Yeah.
See, you got one already. Okay, great. And if I mean, you might have already given a donation, and if you haven't, then you're welcome to, if you like. And you know about the feast on Sundays. Yeah. And we usually have these classes here Monday through Wednesday, and sometimes Thursday nights. And the three of us usually go to Boulder on Thursday nights for the Bhakti Yoga Club up there. So and sometimes there's a class here on Thursday night. And then there's a program across the street on Friday night. And is there a postcard for that? Dharmadin. Anyway, if you come on a Friday night from 7 to 9, there's a house across the street, 1390 Cherry Street. And we meet there Friday nights. And then Saturday, sometimes we're downtown chanting, sometimes. And then Sunday night, we're here at 5. We have a nice program that starts here at 5. And you had something to eat also?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, good. Any Mahapurusha? Maybe if there's a little bit he could take back with him. Yeah, that'd be good. No, thanks. Okay. So we'll conclude here. All glories to Bhagavad Gita as it is, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. First to the deities, and then they offer to that same garland to Prabhupada. He wears it, and then usually the speaker, like this morning, the class speaker also wore it. So it's like very sacred, you know.
Thank you.
Garland, something to really give you a lot of blessings and mercy, huh?
Yeah.
So we'll be seeing you again.
Devotee, so I'm going to do that.